Accession number 17311, Mr. Robert Watson, reel 2.
Reel 2. Did you get letters or parcels when you were in France, Mr. Watson? You mentioned about a razor that your father sent you.
I occasionally got a letter from my father, but not many letters I didn't get. My sisters and brothers may have written, I don't know. But I used to send these cards already printed and just signed them. I'm all right and all that sort of thing, just to let them know you're still alive. And occasionally I'd write a letter back to my father or my sisters, and that was it.
What did you think of the Germans as sort of foe? What was your opinion of them in the war?
Well, at that time it wasn't a good opinion. Obviously we were fighting them and that, but After thoughts afterwards, when you come back to think about it, they were only the same as us at the time. They thought the same as us as we thought of them. There's some good ones, some good and bad ones.
Were they good fighters, do you think?
Did they
fight well?
Yes, they could. Yes, they were. Oh, yes. They were good fighters.
What did you think of their equipment compared with yours? Their sort of weapons and conditions? Did you have any idea?
No, not really. I think the weapons were more or less the same as ours. The machine guns, light artillery and hand grenades and all that sort of thing. It was very similar to us.
Do you think you ever suffered from any sort of stress? Did you get nervous about the war at all? You know, one hears of people with shell shock because of the shelling. Did you ever get affected?
No, never.
Or anyone near you? Anyone you knew?
No, I don't remember anybody being shell shocked. The whole point was, when we were in line, you only knew half a dozen chaps. Round. Oh, there's another thing I'll tell you now about in France. We advanced and took a farm, and round the farm was a big early garden with a fence round it and a ditch. And we'd advanced there and dug a trench out of a shell hole. I was number two on the gun, on the machine gun then. That's right. There was a corporal, number one, he fired the gun, and I used to give him the ammunition. These wrapped round boxes of ammunition. And the Germans came and attacked, took this farm, but didn't come out. They came out of a gate. Well, we stopped them. We fired at them and that sort of thing. And during the night, sometime or other, they got a shell hole outside the other side of the hedge and got a machine gun in there and dug it out the same as we did. And we were told about this and we were going to attack it. Now, we were on the right hand side of a small footpath that led to the farm, and the Germans were on the right of it, farther up, and we got the order to advance. We had to go, and the corporal went out with a machine gun along this path to where the Germans were, and others went through the grass there, and somebody threw bomb towards them, And at the same time, the corporal in charge of the machine gun, I was behind him, got shot, killed. And I was behind him, I had to get the machine gun, the Lewis gun it was, Lewis gun. And I got hold of it and rolled over and got in the grass and another shell hole there. And I stayed there till it was dark. That's right, well, I'm blowed. And we drove the Germans from the farm. I think we killed most of them. Well, I'm blowed, I've forgotten all about that.
It's interesting because it came back so vividly, didn't it?
Yes. Oh, I can imagine everything we did there. And when the Germans came and took the farm and that, one of the soldiers was told to go about 100 yards along to where the South Wales borders were in trenches and tell them about this, let them know about everything. He got halfway across and got shot. He was just killed. Well, I'm glad.
Was it very upsetting for you when your pals were killed? Did you?
No, you accepted it. You did feel sorry about it all, but it was natural, sort of thing, that you're exposed all the time. You're going to get killed. You had the opportunity was there for you to be killed.
How about the medical services? Were they any good?
Pardon?
You know, the medical services that you had.
Medical services, they were excellent, I think, for this. The way it was, the way they used. Another thing just come to mind, mentioning that, medical services. I went down with the flu. Asian flu those days. And I was taken back to the camp, and I was in the camp and treated by the doctors coming out, nurses, fellow nurses, men, giving us stuff. And it was under canvas tents for, I was in there for about 2 weeks. They came round and examined me, and it still hurt me. And they kept me there for another week. I was there for 3 weeks and then went back to the regiment again. Well, I'm blowed. One thing brings up another. I can't think of any more.
Did you have padres? Did people come giving you religious services? Were there padres, priests at the front, giving you religious services? Did you ever see them?
I don't remember. It might have been when we came out the line, but I just can't remember.
And I was wondering, you know, when you had a bit of time off, how did you keep yourselves amused? Did you play cards or?
When we were out on the line, we used to play cards, and perhaps somebody had a ball and played a bit of football, and that, but most of the time, a lot of the time, you were cleaning yourself up and getting your clothes clean and that sort of thing.
Oh. How about gas? Did you ever experience any gas?
No, never experienced gas. Funny enough, never. We're lucky. See, I was only out there the last year of the war. January to November.
So when you came back to England at the end of the war, What happened to you then? Did you go straight into Germany, or did you have time in Britain?
No, after the war was over, about 2 or 3 days, we were ordered to get ready for marching into Germany. There had to be a gap between the two armies. And I think I'm not certain what the size of the gap was, or it was 3 miles between us or 30. I'm not so. Anyhow, this is. I thought of this before I was going to tell you, and now you remind me of it. We marched into Germany. It took us about three days, I think, 4 days. And we used to stop at the farmhouses and sleep in the barns and that sort of thing. And out again. And we got to Cologne. And we were the 2nd Battalion to cross over the Hohenzollern Bridge. The Scots Regiment did the first one. We were the 2nd Battalion to march over Hohenzollern Bridge into Cologne. And then we didn't stop in Cologne, we went marched on. And we marched through a village called Wormelskirchen. It was a nice little village. And that was before Christmas, about a fortnight before Christmas, something like that, perhaps 3 weeks. Well, about 2 or 3 days before Christmas, the company sergeant major came along and picked out 4 of us. Said, "Now look, I want you to go out and see if you can scrounge some chickens." He said, "We've got 4 or 5 in already." He said, "But if you can see any about, get them and bring them back." So we did. And we had about 4 or 5 of them. And we were going past the farm, and there's a big bit of a low shed about that high, about like that. And we thought, "Oh, that's a chicken place." And one of the chaps said, "I'll go over and get that." He went over there and felt round, and he opened the door, thinking that, and a big black dog jumped out on him, frightened the life out of him. And we put our skates on too, in case it came. Anyhow, we brought back about half a dozen chickens for Christmas.
Look, how did you get on with the Germans?
And had very little to do with them, except in Wormelskirchen, not too bad. Look, I'm a bit worried about Alvarez being out there on her own.
When you went into Germany, this would have been a country at war. What was your impression of it when you went over that bridge into Cologne?
Germany wasn't at war then.
It would have been sort of after
when
war, yes.
But
you know, it's a country that had suffered war. What sort of state was it in?
Well, we never got a chance to have a look. We were just marching through and going to in villages. And it didn't seem any different, really, from our own country walking through. Because the people there in the houses and that sort of thing. And, of course, we weren't sort of interested in what they'd suffered or anything like that much. We'd suffered enough. And
were there any rules that you were told about, you know, of not getting too friendly with the Germans? I know this happened.
I think we were told not to get close to them, that sort of thing. But that was strange because when we were in Wormelskirchen, my pal, he was a signaller in the army. And we went out one night and we met 2 German girls. They were sisters. We chatted them up. They could speak 1 or 2 words of English. And they invited us home. We went with them. We went to their house and into the kitchen there. And they made us some tea, a cup of tea. And we had quite a chat with the mother and that. And I thought, well, that was jolly good. And we went back to our own place again, the warm excursion. Well, a few weeks later, a few days later, after Christmas, our section was pulled out and we were told to go to a place called Talspear. T-A-L-S-P-E-A-R, I think.
Do you know how to spell the earlier place, Volmer, the first place you were in? Do you know how that is spelt?
The
place where you've been before you went to Talspear. Volmer.
I don't know where we were billeted, still there.
Yes, but you mentioned this first place where you stayed in Germany. You went from Cologne, then you went to, what was it, Wilmer, this place where you met the two girls.
Oh, that was Wilmer Excursion.
Yes, how do you spell that? Have you any idea?
W-E-R-M-A-L, I think.
Yes.
And Excursion, S-C-H-E-R-C-H-E-N or something like that.
Yes, that's lovely. Thank you very much indeed. But then you went to Talspear, you say.
Then we went to Talspear. Now, the section was pulled out, our section, and we went along to Talspear. Now, it was about 3 miles away from Wilmer Excursion. Now, when we got there, we stayed at a hotel which was empty, and it bordered on what do you call it where you get your water from? I can't think of the word.
A well?
No.
Or a reservoir?
It's a big lake.
A reservoir?
Reservoir. Couldn't think of the word, I'm sorry. This reservoir, it's a huge reservoir. And it was down in the valley more, when we were up a bit high up on this in the hotel. And there was a brick bridge built across it, and you could see the people walking across it. Well, this hotel was empty. I don't know why it was there. And we were there for the New Year. And New Year's Eve, there was one man there, that's all. New Year's Eve, we were sitting in the inside. He came down with a bowl, and his bowl of drink, I don't know what it was, and started talking to us, talk English. He's been the manager of a hotel in Manchester, and he come back to Germany. He was a German, and he come back to manage this hotel. But they didn't allow many people to live there, something or other. I don't know what it was, really. But it was a beautiful spot. Really lovely. And we were there for about 3 weeks. Then we were really cold. And soon after that, I think we came back to England.
Were there any problems while you were there? Any sort of with the German people? Were there any?
No, we never had any
riots or problems.
Oh no, no. They looked upon themselves as being defeated. They were the defeated ones, and I don't think they would. They didn't want to try anything because they knew it would be worse for them, I think.
So then you went back to England, did you? After that.
Then we came back to England, and I can't think where we came. Where it was. I can't think. Oh! Wait a minute, I forgot something's wrong there when we came back to England. before we came back to England, that's right, they wanted to volunteers for North Russia. They were going to support the white North Russians. That's right. I remember that now. And we were, a few of us volunteers, about half a dozen of us, we were sent home on leave. We had a leave before we went there. And then, am I going too fast for you? And I forgot.
You were saying you went back to England to get ready for Russia.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's right. Yes.
Did they give you? Were you still in the same unit?
Oh yes. Not the same. It wasn't the Hampshire Regiment that went there. There were a mixture. Oh, I'll come to that. We came back and we were sent to some camp. Oh, what's the name of it? Near Swindon. Crowborough. Crowborough Camp. And there was about already some soldiers there. And there were soldiers from every regiment nearly there. And there were only about 150 of us. It wasn't a full battalion. And now this is interesting. We had a colonel come. Colonel Sherwood Kelly, an Irishman, and he was seemed all right. Well, after a few days there, the beer ran out in the canteen, and a crowd of the soldiers went down there, down to the officers' huts where they were, and they'd taken biscuit tins down there. And went down there, banging on these biscuit tins and throwing stones on top of the roof. And Sherwood Kelly came out at the finish, held up his hand, and they stopped for a moment. And he said, "Look," he said, "I don't mind you throwing stones on the roof of the hut." He said, "I'm going to use his words." He said, "For Christ's sake, stop beating those biscuit tins." And that got the chaps. They started, and then they put the complaints before him and that sort of thing, get beer. And while they were down there, I understand that some of them were left. They went down to the Ox and Bucks canteen that was down there and pinched a bottle of beer and rolled it back. I don't know how true that was, but that's what they said. They had some beer when they got back.
Were you re-kitted out for Russia at all? Did you have new kit for going to Russia?
I'm coming to that in a minute. You'll find out in a minute about Russia. Where did we come from?
Yeah, I think you said you were at Crowborough.
That's right, but I'm just wondering, when we left Crowborough, what town we went to get the ship, and a troop ship. We got this troop ship, and I can't think whether it was Dover or Southampton or Portsmouth or somewhere. I don't know. Anyhow, we went to this troop ship, and up the coast, we called in at Lerwick, northern Scotland, and then went across the Norwegian coast to that bay. I can't think of the name of the town. Were during the war, our war prisoners, English war prisoners, were kept on board this ship in the harbour. And eventually, they made their escape with the ship. It was big news at that time. You may know somebody who remembers it.
Narvik.
It might have been Narvik. I just can't be certain. But anyhow, we carried on then and went right up the coast, round the top onto North Russia's coast, and came along there, and the first stop was Murmansk. We stopped there, pulled in the harbour. We weren't there long. We weren't there overnight even. And in those days, looking at Murmansk, mostly wooden huts there, containing different gear and that sort of thing. And we left there, went along, and we came to join the river Archangel. And we disembarked Archangel. It looked a beautiful town from the ship, lovely white and big wide roads, isn't it? And we disembarked and went through Archangel to get into another boat. And when we got there, it's all whitewash and paint and wooden houses and that sort of thing. And the roads, instead of being concrete or stones and that sort of thing, they were all wood chipped roads. And anyhow, we got on across Archangel. When we got down on the other side, there were barges there. I think there were three barges, and with tugs, and we got on board there. And the first thing we told you was sling up hammocks when we got down below. And it was so crowded, one hammock was almost touching the other. All three were the same. Right. And we started off the next day up the Dwina River. I don't know how many miles, but it was 100 or 200 miles up there. Long, long, 3 days I think we were going up there. Don't know how many miles, doing 30 a day, 40 a day or something. It was being tugged. And we passed two warships, those light warships they had during the war, the very light ones. And one was in bad condition, blown to me. What had happened, that the Russians had sent mines down, floating down the river, and these two ships were together, and it hit one of them, exploded, and